Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we will do two call-ins today on the Henry Louis Gates, James Crowley incident. Later, I want to get some of you to role-play having the beer that they're going to have. That's been scheduled now. If you didn't hear, it'll be Thursday at 6 p.m. at the White House. And the challenge when we do that will be to keep it in the spirit of reconciliation rather than accusation. That may be the challenge for them in real life, too. So we'll do that call-in in about an hour. For right now, let's have a call-in just for people in law enforcement on the question, when do you arrest someone for shouting at you? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. As your calls are coming in, the Times had a thoughtful piece on this over the weekend that referred to different places having slightly different disorderly conduct laws and different individual police officers having different practices about when to arrest someone for disorderly conduct just for yelling at you, the officer, if there is no other underlying crime. For example, it said the line of when to put on handcuffs is a personal and blurry one, varying among officers in the same city, the same precinct, even the same patrol car. It says several officers interviewed in four cities said they tried to ignore such remarks. Others said they had zero tolerance for being treated disrespectfully in public. Quote, "We don't get to tell people what they want to hear," said the Los Angeles officer, who, like others interviewed for the article, spoke on anonymity. "Whether we're giving them a ticket or responding to some conflict between a husband and wife, we're not dealing with people at their best. And if you don't have a tough skin, then you shouldn't be a cop." The officer said he recently confronted a woman walking in the middle of the street and asked her to step out of traffic. She refused and became belligerent, using a string of four-letter words and ethnic epithets. He said he wrote the woman a ticket and just went on his way. But then it says, in Brooklyn, a 24-year-old officer with 3 years on the force seemed less inclined to walk away from verbal abuse. He said, "We say back down. If they don't back down and start making direct threats, that's an offense. They don't get a free pass." He said the threats could be defined in different ways, and he preferred to talk people down, but that the rules changed if a crowd formed. So is that the standard for you, if a crowd forms? Which was the routine in New York, he said, and also occurred during the Gates incident. And then there's a quote of the president of the Detectives Endowment Association here in the city, the Detectives Union, basically, Michael Palladino. Some of you know him. He took a harder line and said officers should not tolerate disrespect on the street. Palladino said, "We pay these officers to risk their lives every day. We're taught that officers should have a thicker skin and be a little immune to some comments, but not to the point where you are abused in public. You don't get paid to be publicly abused. There are laws that prevent against that." So do you agree with that New York City union chief? Is it about face and respect? And we'll take your calls right now. Our lines are just about full. We have one free open line remaining for police officers or retired or former police officers. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Brandon in Brooklyn, thanks a lot for calling. You're on WNYC.
Yeah, hi, Brian. Good morning. I've been a New York City police officer for over 12 years. I'm a supervisor now, and I just wanted to say it's extremely rare that I'll have somebody arrested for yelling directly at me. I think that they have to cross a certain line. And in my mind, that line is it has two dimensions. One is when their conduct makes it impossible or very difficult or unreasonable for me to continue conducting an investigation. I can't do my job of ensuring public safety because this person is just following me around, screaming in my face. And the second thing is just personal direct threats of violence. I can't tolerate a threat of violence against me or another police officer. So even if it's not, they don't have to have a weapon in their hand or be cocking a fist to fight me. But if somebody directly threatens my safety, then they have to be arrested.
And is that a different crime if somebody's actually threatening your safety or threatening?
Sure, you can articulate a crime of menacing in that case, but you're asking under what circumstances,
yes,
I'd arrest somebody for yelling at me. That's
right.
A circumstance.
So now that you're a supervisor, how do you train officers under you in this respect?
Well, invariably the person who's yelling at you just reflects, especially for crowd forums, you have to be careful, and this is another dimension. If they're trying to incite a crowd, You know, to some extent, the situation has to be disassembled. You can't have somebody who appears to be successfully inciting a crowd while you're conducting an investigation continue to do so. So you have to stop that. But if it's a level-headed crowd, everyone's looking at them saying this person is a nutcase. You know, they're the person who is reflecting poorly on themselves, and you're not. A lot of people, I think the community has more faith in officers who can keep their cool than officers who immediately resort to some act of force in response to words.
Brandon, thanks so much for calling in.
Yeah, thank you.
Good luck out there. Peter on Staten Island, you're on WNYC. Hi, Peter.
Good morning, Brian. I'm retired after 38 years with NYPD. I retired as a detective, but for a long time I was a training officer, and I would tell the members of my command, and I would hold up the blue uniform. Mm-hmm. And I would say, this uniform goes into the washing machine after you're done with your tour. When people yell at you, they have no idea who you are. They don't know your name. They see the blue uniform. The blue uniform is Teflon. You do not ever get upset because somebody calls you a bad name.
In today's world,
it seems like police officers take everything, from what I'm hearing from this, personally. And you can't do that.
What do you think about, since you're a detective, what the Detectives Union Chief, Mr. Palladino, was quoted here saying in the Times, yes, you have to have a thick skin to be a little immune to some comments, but not to the point where you're abused in public. You don't get paid to be publicly abused, he said.
I did get paid for keeping the peace, for doing a lot of stuff. Abuse is... My dog used to abuse me. He would bark at me. My cats abuse me. They scratch me. No, you don't get upset. But in public, if someone is making a scene and all of a sudden, because of that person carrying on, other people come out to see what's going on, that is the definition of disorderly conduct.
So in this case where, I guess, somewhat of a crowd gathered outside the Gates home, do you think the police officer did the right thing?
I think that crowd that gathered were other police officers. I'm sorry, I have to look closely to it. What's your take on that, Brian? Well, I'm sorry for turning it around.
Well, I'm not going to give my take right now because I really am just trying to let a lot of police officers and retired police officers like yourself have their voice right now, not make this about me. But Peter, thank you very much. It's true that Sergeant Crowley did call for a lot of backup there when he articulated feeling threatened. But Chris in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Chris.
Good morning, Brian. Yeah, basically, you have to have a thick skin to be a police officer. I was a police officer for 20 years. I'm retired now, a sergeant for 12. And you're a professional. You get paid to de-escalate situations. And you cannot take things personally, as Peter said. You will make a mistake if you do that. And the one exception that I always had was if you feel you're threatened, if you feel you're in danger, and if it is a public place, you know, then you have to do what you have to do because you have to stop this.
What do you say to this 13-year veteran of the Denver Police Force who was quoted in the Times article? He said, "We're not going to take abuse. We have to remain in control. We're running the show."
Wow. Talk about macho, macho man. Okay, you can be in control and not have that attitude. You can be quietly in control. I totally reject that. I think that we are paid to de-escalate.
So, Chris, what did you think of the Gates incident?
You really have to ask Brian. I think it's evident.
From your answer.
I totally disagree with the way it was handled. And I think Officer Crowley made a mistake because he took it personally.
What would you say when you have that beer with President Obama tomorrow?
Well, I would just, I don't know, I would try to just keep it calm and say, look, everybody has a perspective. Mistakes were made on both sides, and we have to be adults about it.
Chris,
and apologize. I mean, accept an apology.
Chris, thank you so much. And actually, that's Thursday at 6 p.m. that they're going to be at the White House, and we'll have that call-in separately later. A call-in we're going to ask you to pose as Henry Louis Gates and as Sergeant Crowley and as President Obama and have that conversation later in the spirit of reconciliation rather than in the spirit of confrontation. We'll do that in about an hour. Ken on Long Island, you're also a retired police officer, yes?
That's correct, and an attorney.
Uh-huh.
And The test for disorderly conduct in New York is public alarm. A member of the public, not just the police. As a matter of fact, the police officer is a non-entity in this situation. Imagine, if you will, a motorist stopped at 3 o'clock in the morning in the financial district. No one's around. That motorist can get loud and yell, and guess what? No disorderly conduct, because no member of the public is alarmed. People don't stop to watch. They don't stop what they're doing, hold up traffic to see what the disturbance is about. Hence, no disorderly conduct. And that's the case that it sounds like we had in Cambridge, where just the police were alarmed. Another wrinkle in that is if the homeowner was called outside by the police, told to come outside, and invited, if you will, into the venue of the public, then that could be another problem for a prosecution in that case.
Right. Now, in this case, Sergeant Crowley was, I guess, in his perspective, from his perspective, retreating to the outside because he felt threatened in the privacy of Gates's home when Gates was escalating verbally.
Right, and he might have had a very good operational and procedural point to do that, but that would be separate from a disorderly conduct issue. Yeah.
So since you're an attorney and a retired officer, what do you say to that point of the union president Palladino's quote in the Times? He said, not to the point where you're abused in public, you don't get paid to be publicly abused, and then the next sentence is, there are laws to protect against that. Are there no laws, in your opinion, that protect a police officer from being verbally abused?
No, there are no specific laws to protect police officers from being verbally abused. The law is there to protect the public in general, and it's applied by police officers to protect those people, including police officers when they are threatened, menaced, as one caller mentioned earlier. Yes, in that situation, police action is necessary. But where the police cause the intervention, they stop a motorist, they go to a homeowner's door, things like that, they're much more limited in disorderly conduct charges and charges along those lines.
Ken, thanks a lot for calling, and we'll take one more. Jim in Westchester. Jim, thanks a lot for calling.
Yes, hi. I think that a lot of officers tend to get carried away in their desire to do their duty, and I think oftentimes they become overly macho, and I think sometimes what happens is these attitudes create a situation where people don't trust police officers, and I think by taking this attitude, police officers are not helping the situation. They're increasing distrust of police officers, and that police officers need to use a little more discretion.
Jim, thank you very much. And we're going to get one more call, actually. With Jim in New Jersey, a former military police officer. And I think, Jim, you may be the only one kind of taking the other side here. It's interesting that all these officers and retired detectives calling in have really been criticizing Sergeant Crowley in this case. Are you a little less critical?
Well, thanks for taking my call. I don't know if I am a little less critical because none of us were there. We weren't there for the situation. We don't know what transpired. All we know is media reports and hearsay. But the bottom line is you want to de-escalate a situation. I mentioned before, any police academy you go to, military, civilian, private, you learn that you want to de-escalate a situation and make it safe. And I'm not sure that this is what the officer did. Again, we weren't there. But each situation is different. Perhaps in that situation, when it's the officers and the individuals and really nobody else involved, and the guy's cursing and yelling at the officer, well, you can't take it personal. It's the situation. You're there to perform a function. Maybe you, back a few steps away, go behind your patrol car and say, all right, look, this is the situation.
I get your point. But you, I guess you told our screener, you also didn't like President Obama calling him stupid.
Well, no, I think that was uncalled for because, again, you're talking about the President of the United States. I mean, I don't know if that's the language the President wants to use, but, again, he wasn't there. Whether or not what the officer did was, stupid, again, he wasn't there. I don't think that was right for him to say that. It may very well. He may very well have acted stupidly, the officer, but we weren't there.
Right. Jim, thank you very much. I'm going to leave it there. And so the president has something maybe to apologize for tomorrow or Thursday when they all get together. And again, in about an hour, we'll do a role play here on the air where we pretend we are in that group. We are Gates. We are Crowley. We are the president having that beer tomorrow. So get ready to call in about an hour if you want to be one of those guys, but to talk to each other only in the spirit of reconciliation from each direction. Are you ready to do that? We'll do that in about an hour. And again, to all of you in law enforcement who just called up, thank you so much. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, we're going to get a critical review of the Amazon Kindle book reader from Nicholson Baker, who wrote about it in The New Yorker this week. And we'll take your calls. If you're a Kindle owner, do you like it any better than he does? He calls it a kind of death gray screen. Stay with us.